everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Myers Way podcast. I'm really excited for our guest today, who's Steve Wright, who is from SCD Lifestyle. He was an electrical engineer turned health engineer. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Dr. Amy. I'm very excited for this conversation.
Yeah, me too. So we met, this year at PaleoFX, although I certainly had heard of the SCD Lifestyle website and, of course, the carbohydrate-specific diet for those that don't know what those initials stand for, and have either, you know, referred people y'all's way or had people come in, you know, from your website or coming in, you know, on the carbohydrate-specific diet, and have kind of been really fascinated about it and know certainly some, but I'm not an expert, so I'm really happy to have an expert here to explain it to all of our listeners.
Well, I don't know if I'd call myself an expert just yet. I think we're always kind of learning and growing, but I definitely have going on 5 years experience, with the specific carbohydrate diet and improving my own health. So yeah, it was great to meet you at PaleoFX. I follow a ton of your work. I'm a big fan. So.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I tell people, you know, that I learn stuff every day and I live and breathe this. So when we, you know, as part of our visit, you see me and one of my registered dietitians, and every once in a while we'll get somebody saying, oh, I know tons about nutrition. I don't want to see the nutritionist. I'm like, I'm sorry, you still have to, because this is a learning process. I mean, you know, things are ever changing and ever evolving, you know, within my own body as well as in research and everything. So I don't think any one of us can ever say we know it all. Well, why don't we start by you just telling us how you even got into this at to begin with. You said you were an electrical engineer and now you got this massive following on the SCD Lifestyle website.
Yeah, so I've never been a very good engineer as far as those guys sitting down at desks creating buildings and, you know, electrical guys doing homes or anything like that. So I always knew that I was going to do something different. And back in 2009, I was actually doing consulting for a big four consulting firm. So that's basically traveling a lot, lots of happy hours. And I was already having digestive issues throughout my life, probably 5 years prior to that. But I kept seeing conventional doctors and they kept saying, well, this is just IBS, Steve. It runs in your family. This is kind of your genetics. You're just gonna have to deal with it. Fiber, eat more whole grains. And I really got to a break point with my stress back then where I think I kind of tipped over the edge and I started having anxiety, depression. I was having alternating constipation, diarrhea, lots of bloating, so bad that I actually got reprimanded by my boss at the consulting firm because I was so smelly. But like, it hurt so bad that I had to pass the gas. So I was having all these really embarrassing experiences. And luckily I had a friend from college, Jordan Reisner, who had celiac disease, and he was actually unresponsive to the gluten-free diet. And he was also sort of written off by the conventional doctors because they said, oh, you're just cheating on this diet. You keep cheating. And so he found a naturopath who recommended the specific carbohydrate diet. It stopped his 4 year long span of diarrhea in 7 days. And so I was on the phone with him complaining about being up all night on the toilet. And he's like, dude, you have to try this. So that's what I did. It took me a while to sort of fathom it because it's a unprocessed, you basically make everything at home style diet. But I did. And that like constant bloating and gas literally went away in 7 days. I mean, I wasn't symptom free everything medically, but my digestive symptoms completely changed in 7 days following this diet. And so at that point I was like, holy cow, this is amazing. And it's kind of grown from there. We knew at that point that we just needed to get the word out more and make the diet a little more accessible to everyone.
Yeah, so this is, you know, this isn't something you guys came up with, right? I mean, this is something that has existed, but you guys have really taken it more mainstream and sounds like your mission to, as you mentioned, get the word out to people.
Yeah, definitely. There's mentions of the beginning of the diet back in research in the 1920s. And it really started with Dr. Sidney Haas. He published a journal on the specific carbohydrate diet in the 50s and then wrote a book in the 50s. And he was treating celiac patients at the time. They didn't even know about gluten yet. And he was seeing really good success with what he called a monosaccharide only diet. And he termed it the specific carbohydrate diet. And the basis of the diet was no grains, no starches, only carbohydrates from honey or from fruits or vegetables, and lots of protein, meat, fat, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so it sounds, you know, somewhat similar to the paleo diet. So I guess, you know, tell us more specifically about what is the carbohydrate specific diet, and then maybe how does it differ from other diets, say paleo, out there?
Yeah, sure. So we like to call it the little brother for paleo, because we love paleo. I didn't even know about paleo when I started SCD back in 2010. But the main differences are, SCD is starch-free. It also allows lactose-free fermented dairy. There was a book published in 1994 called Breaking the Vicious Cycle by Elaine Gottschall, and that's the book that I started with. And she sort of took Dr. Haas's work to another level, and so that's the current, I guess, reference point at this point. So if you go to their, if you go to her work, you also see that legumes are allowed and some other things that aren't allowed on the paleo diet. However, what we've done at SCD Lifestyle, and kind of our mission, is trying to get the word out there about what works and what doesn't work. And that's kind of like my engineering training, is just looking for what actually works. And I'll tell you right now that most people with digestive problems should not be eating properly prepared legumes. I have no dogma against diets. I'm only looking for what's really working for people with digestive problems. And it turns out that there's quite a few root causes that would make it a bad idea for someone to be eating starch. Not that starch is bad, but as you were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, I think our diet should totally ebb and flow with our health, with our stress levels, and with just where we are. And so really, specific carbohydrate diet is a therapeutic tool for those with digestive problems. And we kind of, at SCD Lifestyle, we've kind of taken to the next step where we've tried to get people to create their own custom diet, because there's lots of digestive diets that are floating out there in the web. There's the FODMAPs, there's all kinds of different protocols. And so our message is really, let's use some scientific ideas and then create your own custom diet. And so that's kind of where we're at right now with the SCD Lifestyle. And we're hoping that in the coming years, we can actually take a lot of the research that paleo's done on industrial seed oils and all those types of things, and sort of rewrite the book and update it with the last 15 years worth of research.
Right. Well, it's really great to hear you talking about an individual diet. And as I always say, there's no one right diet for everybody. You got to figure out what works for you. And, you know, I think a lot of times people, it's sort of like religion, you know, people get, or politics, you know, they get really kind of stuck on, well, I'm paleo and there's vegans over there, or I'm vegan and I'm raw and you're doing it wrong. And, you know, it was so nice. I mean, I of course knew Rob before he was on my podcast, but I was really kind of curious and surprised at how he answered some of my questions, because I thought he was going to be a little more like paleo all the way. And I was really pleasantly surprised how he was much more similar to how you and I are talking about finding the right diet for you. And, you know, if a little bit of grains or whatever on occasion is something that works for you, great. So that's really, you know, my mission as well. We have, through the Myers Way protocol, various different sort of protocols that you can do. And it's really about figuring out what works for you. And as you said, I mean, you know, one day it could be bone broths, and the next day it could be smoothies, and the next day it could be, you know, having a piece of steak or something for breakfast. I mean, you know, my life certainly ebbs and flows with the seasons and how I'm feeling, and, you know, my own digestion in terms of, you know, people often ask me, well, what do you have for breakfast? It's like, well, kind of depends. I go through these phases where it's, you know, bone broth to a smoothie to green juice and kind of everywhere in between.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I think I've talked with several other sort of doctors and nutrition experts, and I think we can kind of agree that those of us who've been tinkering with our diets for a long time, that as our stress levels ebb and flow, as our exercise change, you know, Western life just happens. And so I've really noticed that I can eat a pretty wide range of foods. You know, I'm definitely more paleo at this point, but if I'm getting under a lot of stress, I kind of have to rein my diet back in and stay pretty tight and narrow and, you know, not get off the beaten path, because just depending on where I'm at with my life, things can really get kind of wonky.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so you mentioned, you know, a lot of digestive stuff, and that's what brought you to the, you know, SCD Lifestyle, but who is this diet for?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's for anyone with a digestive problem. So specifically on our website, we're typically talking about Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, IBS, both constipation, diarrhea, and alternating, as well as celiac disease. And like I was saying before, we really like to think of specific carbohydrate diet as a digestive diet. Like it's for people with digestive problems. I don't believe it has to be a lifetime long diet. If somebody wants to choose that, I'm totally fine with that. You know, as long as they're getting their nutrients, but really it's for those people who might be paleo, who might be Weston A. Price, but they're just not getting the results they want. And so we really encourage people, give it 30 days, kind of remove some of these other foods that these other diets allow and just see what happens.
Yeah. So kind of walk me through again, what is it that you can and can't have on the SED lifestyle, or what are you all promoting? Let's say today I'm like, all right, tomorrow I'm waking up, I'm doing this SED lifestyle for a week or 2 weeks or till my digestive problems go away.
Sure.
What's that?
Yeah.
Mean?
So, you know, all proteins are totally allowed. So any meats, all that stuff's totally allowed. Of course, we encourage eating wild caught seafood and sustainably raised meats, but anything's allowed there. Obviously, all fats are allowed. Again, we encourage the use of, you know, good quality fats like butter and ghee and lard, and avoiding vegetable oils. But then it's, you know, vegetables and fruits. No grains, no starches. The only sweetener that you can use is honey. You can definitely have nut products, nut butters, those types of things. Legumes are allowed, but I would definitely not encourage that in the first month of trying to switch your diet and get rid of your digestive problems. And lactose-free 24-hour fermented yogurt, as well as cheeses, are allowed on the diet as well. We've seen sort of trying just compiling with thousands and thousands of people now some best practices. And some of the best practices are remove dairy for the first 30 days, use something like sauerkraut instead of the fermented yogurt. And then at 30 days, begin to add in, you know, dairy, remove legumes until you're completely symptom free for a while, and then test them. And that's kind of our approach. There's a lot of research that suggests that as you introduce foods, you know, you can kind of tell yourself whether or not that food agrees with you. So our thing is, okay, start with that basic template diet. You know, start with cooking your fruits and vegetables, trying to get the symptoms under control, and then broaden out. Then start eating raw foods. Then start eating nut flours, those types of things. But when you do it, take 3 days and only change that one new food and find out, really, does it give you drainage? Does it give you a headache? Do your bowels get, you know, constipated or looser, something like that? So,
and are eggs included in that? Can you have eggs?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Eggs are included in it for sure.
Okay. And so, yeah, because I've always wondered about the dairy, because people ask me that. And so, you know, my back to them is, it's great that you've got out the lactose, but, you know, many of the people that I see, at least, whether it's real or whether it's just from leaky gut, have a, you know, most all of them have a gluten issue for sure. And 50% of those people have a dairy issue, and it's usually the casein protein. So, you know, that's been my one kind of, when people ask my thought process about it. Of course, I'm always, particularly if they've gotten stuck with me, you know, open for them to try pretty much anything that isn't going to harm them. But I've always cautioned them about the dairy part of the SCD lifestyle, because I know that you do the fermented yogurt, but it still has, you know, and cheese, but those still have casein in them.
Yeah, they do. And we've seen similar as what you've seen, that there are a lot of people out there that are reacting to the probably the casein, or, you know, maybe it is the lactose, but probably not. Definitely casein. And then I think there are also some people that are getting a lot of reactions to the probiotic content in it. So I think it's best to keep it out for a while, sort of desensitize your body to it, and then test it. There's lots of other ways to get fermented probiotics in your diet if dairy is not an option.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a sort of common thing. Curious on your end if you see this a lot, but, you know, I certainly know it's promoted in the paleo community and out there in general. You know, eat all this prebiotic food because, you know, it's giving you the food for your good bacteria. But I'm finding, you know, the vast majority of my patients have candida. And when they're eating all this fermented food, they're also feeding the candida. And so really needing to get rid of that before sort of embarking on these heavily, you know, prebiotic type diets. Do you guys see that?
Oh, totally. And I would say that on our end, we see a lot more people with small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. And both Candida and SIBO are just going to eat up all that prebiotic food, as well as those complex carbohydrates. Because one of the other reasons why people with digestive problems don't handle disaccharides and polysaccharides very well, which, you know, prebiotics are typically part of both of those groups, is that the brush border, I'm sure most of your listeners are know about the villi in the intestines, and then there's the microvilli, it's kind of called the brush border. And if there's inflammation down there, if you're having active digestive problems, there's likely some sort of damage down there, and it's highly likely that your ability to actually produce enzymes to split these carbohydrates and then absorb them has been derailed, and it's at least, you know, subpar, which allows those carbohydrates to sit around in your gut longer when they should have been absorbed. And then you have, like you said, candida, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, get a lot of gas, bloating, those types of things.
Yeah. So what is, like, I'm not even sure how to phrase it, but what is the premise behind the SCD lifestyle, or, you know, just behind the, you know, carbohydrate specific diet? Cannot speak today. Sorry.
No, it's
and it's
good.
Not even 5 on Friday. What really is the premise that you're eating, you know, cooked food, so those are already broken down for you? You're eating.
Well, we, you know, it's best typically to start with cooked food, but raw foods are totally allowed. So the premise really that was put forth by Dr. Haas and by Elaine Gottschall is that monosaccharides are the only thing that can be easily absorbed by the gut, because you don't have that second, you don't have to use those enzymes to break down disaccharides and polysaccharides. You can, you know, once you start to get
into... I'm just going to interrupt you here, just so for those people who aren't scientific, you know, mono is breaking it down into a singular, and, you know, di is two and poly is multiple. So it's more complex when it's a poly, and then slightly less complex at a disaccharide, and then extremely simplistic at a monosaccharide, just for those of you out there that just aren't familiar with those terms. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, and that's a good point. And they are familiar with, like, glucose and fructose are monosaccharides. Sucrose is a disaccharide. Starch is a polysaccharide. So if you think about it in food terms, that's kind of an easy way to remember it.
Great.
So those bigger molecules have to be split in order for the body to actually use them. And the hypothesis or theory that was put out and that has produced really good results is that if you ate a diet that consisted of only monosaccharides, you would begin to starve the candida or the bacterial overgrowth or whatever issues you're having, if it was just an absorption issue, and actually begin to heal the gut. Now, they didn't know that they were eliminating grains based on this carbohydrate length idea. Now we know that you should be eliminating these grains for lots of other reasons, I think, that are even worse. But that's kind of where it started. I think at this point, we know from further studies that fruits and vegetables have some small amount of polysaccharide in them. And so I don't think you can say, like, oh, it's completely a monosaccharide free diet. But when you're removing 99% of these more complex carbohydrates, it just appears that whether it's due to a gut flora change or due to an absorption ability, finally, people do really well when you're removing that sort of carbohydrate that typically is good for people, but these people cannot tolerate.
Right. Absolutely. So, obviously, since you're dealing with digestive issues, and I know, you know, listening to some of your podcast and you're on with Chris, you guys talk about poop a lot. So as do I. I mean, I'm, you know, right up there with you about it all starting in the gut, and I definitely love the gut and love the poop. So tell us, you know, what somebody can learn by kind of looking at their poop.
Yeah, I wish. Why is it that poop is more taboo now than sex? I mean, there's like half naked women on every channel these days, but we can't talk about poop without people getting a little uncomfortable.
I don't know. I was in the Peace Corps. We all talked about our poop. So, you know, and then medical school. So, you know, it doesn't obviously, you know, we're here talking to thousands of people about poop. So I got no problem with it. And I'm asking people about their poop all day. But yeah, it is quite funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you think about it as just an everyday human who doesn't have a laboratory at your house where you're always measuring your biomarkers and trying to figure out your health. If, you know, hopefully not everyone's, you know, doing that. Most people don't want to do that. So if you do want to just kind of track how well you're doing, I think poop is a great way to just take a quick look. Hey, I'm digesting well. If I'm digesting well, then all that money, all that time that I'm spending optimizing my diet, trying to get the best nutrients for my health, it's going to the right places. But if your poop's telling a different story, if it's not optimal, then I think we probably would both agree that, you know, that's just one of the first indicators that something else is going on here. And so that's why I think poop is such a great tool for every human to sort of use on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are kind of, you know, what's the perfect poop look like? I mean, people often ask me that, and it's kind of a basic question, but it's, I mean, I won't get into, you know, sometimes I like turn around, I'm like, man, that was good. I'm like,
yeah,
great today. You know.
No, for sure. I'm sure that you used the Bristol stool chart in your office.
I don't. What is it?
Okay. So you totally will love this. So if you're listening to this, hopefully at some point when you're not driving, you can Google the Bristol stool chart and pull it up. And it's a chart that was produced, I think, somewhere in England a few years ago. And it basically rates the quality of your poop on a scale. So it makes it very easy to talk with somebody else about where your poop's at, sort of standardizes the quality so that we can all get on the same side of the discussion, and we don't have to talk about, you know, what it exactly looked like and all that different thing. So the Bristol stool chart goes from 1 to 7, 7 being like liquid diarrhea, 0 being like super hard rabbit pellet constipated poop. And so where you want to be is somewhere in a 4 or 5, and 4 or 5 on the scale would be a 4 would be like a really nice smooth log, very easy to pass, kind of usually a one piecer, and that's probably the one where you stand up and you're like, man, should I take a picture? Maybe. But anyways, 5 would be more like kind of like soft serve, and you know, it's going to break up a little bit, but again, very easy to pass, typically form, not breaking up when it hits the water. So using the Bristol stool chart, you can really gauge your quality and then talk with your practitioner about where you're at. And if you're tracking this, you can say, okay, well, I'm starting on the constipated side. I really need to move towards a 3, 4, or 5 or something like that.
Yeah, well, I pulled it up as we're talking. It's great, but it doesn't tell people what to then do or what their potential problem might be. I mean, I guess that's where you and I come in, but kind of walking through these, can you tell people what potential problems might be if they're...
I think first off, we need to talk about what I consider the other qualities of a perfect poop are. So I think if you're a Bristol 4 or 5, that's the quality piece, but there's also an ease of going, right? You don't want to have to sprint to the bathroom, but you should probably have a pretty good urge. And then when you sit down, it's not like it's time to surf Facebook or read a magazine. It should be a stop and go. It's like a NASCAR fill up. You mean you're in and you're out. So make sure there's no straining, no pushing, nothing like that. Another thing is that you want to be going at least once a day, typically. Going more often, like after every meal, is totally healthy as well, but at least go once a day. And the last thing that I think part of a perfect or makes a perfect poop is that you have what feels like a complete evacuation. So you're not standing up and kind of wondering if you need to go longer, or kind of going back and sitting down thinking that you need to go even more. So I think those 4 qualities really make a perfect poop. And then when you start having deviations in those areas, you can begin to sort of go down the roads of what might be some of the root causes. So like if you're on the lower end of the Bristol stool chart, you're on the constipated side. If you're on the high end, you're on the diarrhea side. And then we need to start to think about, okay, what are the causes of constipation? What are some of the causes of diarrhea?
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, and I mean, I don't think people, well, they do, obviously, if they're listening to me, and likely you guys too, and it sounds like your diet, the specific carbohydrate diet is really promoted for those with digestive issues. But as we all know, you know, all disease really pretty much starts in the gut. So I would imagine that the diet that you're advocating can be helpful to pretty much anybody with any kind of issue.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen a lot of success. People with fibromyalgia, multiple chemical sensitivities, chronic fatigue, these very complex disorders that I know you and I both agree. Like you said, almost every disease begins in the gut. Also, neurological issues. We've seen, you know, anxiety, depression type issues, brain fog really get better when you adopt the specific carbohydrate diet. You know, paleo is also great. But there definitely is a lot of connections between all these different inflammatory problems in the gut.
And do you think when people, I mean, are most people, I imagine you maybe have several different types of people that come to you, somebody who's, you know, done, you know, a program like mine, the Myers Way, or done a paleo, and then they haven't, whatever hasn't resolved for them. So then they're kind of going that extra step. But I imagine you also probably have people that are coming, you know, in off the street, they've heard your podcast or have heard this podcast, and they just want to jump straight to that. And I'm just kind of curious about those people. How much of the resolution do you think is coming just from, you know, getting off the junk and gluten? I mean, as we both know, gluten and dairy are the two most inflammatory foods. So, you know, can you speak to that?
So yeah, so you're saying like people who maybe haven't been through a whole bunch of different alternative practices, they're just the first time ever they're sort of modifying their diet and kind of jumping into this?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, you've helped all kinds of people resolve from all kinds of issues, and I don't doubt that as you know, all of these different types of diets have, where we're getting them off a lot of the really common inflammatory foods like gluten and dairy or maybe other grains and just, you know, processed foods and sugars and stuff like that. So I guess maybe I'm not asking the question. I'm just sort of curious, do you guys kind of segment your patients into those that kind of came from already kind of a stringent diet and got resolution but didn't fully get resolution, so then they've, you know, gone even deeper and done the SCD diet, and then maybe those that have just sort of walked in off the street that this, they just took the plunge to go with you guys from the get-go, and it's really their first, you know, entree into an alternative diet of, you know, getting gluten-free or getting dairy-free or going grain-free kind of thing?
Yeah. No, there's totally a big difference between those two groups, because I think if you just think about it, the person who is trying has already removed some of the most inflammatory foods on the face of the planet, those processed foods, the grains, the dairy, and they're still not getting better. And then they go SCD, they might get even better, but they still might not resolve their issues. And I think it's probably both of our opinion, at least it's my opinion, that there's typically some major root causes that they have to deal with. And diet is a wonderful tool. If I believe that you're either eating for health or you're destroying your health, there's no neutral zone with diet here. But for some people, diet is just not going to resolve their issues. And then there's those other people, like you said, where they haven't tried anything yet. And so I think that there's a lot of people out there that if they're not having dysfunction in several areas of the body, so for instance, right now maybe they only have a candida overgrowth or a SIBO overgrowth, they haven't been sick for a really long time, and they adopt something like the specific carbohydrate diet, they can see typically, you know, completely clearing up of symptoms. You know, I'm not sure if that's a total remission or cure. I mean, those words are so muddled up at this point, but they definitely see much faster results. But again, if that person, if that's their first dipping their toe into the water into a different alternative diet, but they're having hormone dysregulation, they have a parasite plus the SIBO, plus their glutathione status is completely gone. Again, diet's probably going to make a significant change in their lives, but I think that people go through two progressions. Number one is they want their symptoms gone now, because, you know, having digestive problems, when your stomach is pissed at you, it's really hard to get anything done that day. It's really hard to be a good person. And so stage one is like getting those symptoms gone, becoming symptom free. But then if you're wondering like, why do I have to eat these seven foods and take all these pills, these supplement pills? I mean, you're not hurting your health anymore. You're symptom free, but you're not at the level of robust health that most people want. And so I think that next step is for those people who've made those dietary modifications, and they need to get to that next level of what are the root causes that are requiring a diet that's only 10 foods and 15 supplements.
Right. Cool. And so what are some of the common problems that you see, you know, maybe that people have along the way as they're going through the SCD diet?
Yeah, I think it's probably some of the same exact problems that people who typically just deal with the paleo diet. And one of the first ones is thinking that you can make the specific carbohydrate diet look and feel like the common Western diet. So you're trying to cook, you know, you're eating grain or grain baked or coconut flour baked snacks or desserts at every single meal. So nuts can be really hard for a healthy person to digest, let alone somebody who has some sort of chronic health issue or digestive issue. So overeating of nuts is a huge issue that we see. We see a big time issue with eggs. There's a lot of people out there. I don't know. It seems like on our site anyways, our followers, probably 30% or so that have a real egg sensitivity. And so pulling eggs out for like 7 days and then just trying them is a really good idea. We already mentioned this several times, but dairy is another huge issue that we see of people who are trying to do the specific carbohydrate diet, and they're just not – they're not testing the hypothesis that they can handle dairy. And I think you have to test that. And then I think the last thing is that it kind of goes along with that, trying to make SCD feel like the standard American diet, is if you're just pouring honey or some other sweetener into everything you eat. You know, there's some people that are really sensitive, like you said, who have candida or SIBO or something like that, that really need to have a small carbohydrate load during the day to feel good.
And it sounds like to me that really this is something you guys are advocating for, at least the intense diet, for a finite period of time to, you know, restore your gut and those little, you know, brush border and microvilli and villi to back to health. And then you ought to be able to expand your diet from there and maybe end up in, you know, whatever works for them, a paleo diet or a gluten-free diet. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes, that is totally, that would be my goal for everyone I ever meet who has a health issue. Like, let's get down to a very narrow anti-inflammatory diet that works for you, where your symptoms are resolving and you're removing those inflammatory foods or compounds. And then as you heal, continue to grow that variation. I mean, humans need variation just to feel good. We need to do things in our life to produce good chemicals and moods and things. And so, yes, my goal would be to get that stuff under control. If there's any root issues there, find those, fix those. And then, yeah, eat paleo, eat Weston A. Price, eat gluten-free. I'm really... as long as people are healthy and happy, I don't care what they're eating. But it's when their symptoms are flaring and they're having issues, that's where I tend to get a little bit on my soapbox trying to get people to make these modifications.
And so how does it work with you guys? I mean, I know I last night, just in order to get ready for this, downloaded, you have a free ebook that, you know, comes when you sign up for your newsletter. And then, you know, how does somebody get help through you guys?
Yeah, so that's a great question. You can go to scdlifestyle.com. You'll see a big opt-in submission there to get our free quick start guide. It's a chapter out of our ebook that we sell that basically is, this is how you start the specific carbohydrate diet. It's an intro diet really designed to flood the gut with anti-inflammatory compounds and amino acids and really begin the healing process. And then it has some meal plans to sort of step you through. So basically everything on how to do the diet is free on our website. However, we do have an ebook that you could go on and take the next step towards. And in it is basically, we just broke it down. Like, here are the best cases. This is the best way to do things. Here's some problems you should watch out for. It also gives a lot of psychological help because I know that, at least for me, I found that most people would rather change their religion than change their diet. And so there can be a lot of people who need some psychological support when they make a big switch like this. So that would be the next step. But we try to get the word out there as much as possible. You know, we have 350 articles on the blog. So I would just suggest getting on our mailing list, where we'll send you free content throughout the week, some of our best interviews with really bright people out there.
And then what kind of, you know, do you all have a community, or can people set up like a coaching session or something with you all? I mean, is there any, if they want one-on-one time with you to get more advice, or how's that work?
Yeah. So we went through the Dr. Kalish, you know, his functional medicine program. We've taken some other infectious gut disease courses. And so we do consulting. You can sign up for our consulting program. We use a lot of the same tests that you use, Dr. Amy. I know lots of hormone testing, parasite, gut testing, detoxification testing, and also you can just work with us on a, like you said, a coaching basis. So definitely that would be for those people who are ready to dive in and try to figure out why they needed something like the specific carbohydrate diet to feel better right away. But in the meantime, you know, you could just hang out on the blog or go to our Facebook, which is our Facebook page, which is just Facebook.com/SCD Lifestyle, where we're trying to give out just helpful reminders and inspire people to continue on fighting these chronic health conditions, because it really is a journey. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yeah, for sure. So what are some things, you know, that you think of? I mean, when people are sort of doing this, they've gotten to your website, they download the book, they're doing it, they're feeling better, but they're still, you know, not 100%. What are some kind of, I don't know, top four things that you think of or something?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you see this, Dr. Amy, but I know that on well over 100 people now who have a diagnosis of Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, so inflammatory bowel, they typically never have robust cortisol. And typically they have low DHEA production as well. And so I think that's why drugs like prednisone are typically prescribed for these people, and they typically work, at least the first time, pretty well for them. And so the first thing I'm thinking, if somebody has a chronic leaky gut that's only getting leakier after they go paleo, after they go SCD or GAPS, and if they're actually diagnosed with an inflammatory condition, the first thing I'm thinking is if you want your gut to be healthy, you have to have proper hormone control. Otherwise, that cortisol is not going to be able to shut off the inflammation. Your DHEA is not going to be able to support the immune system in the gut. And I firmly believe that just like the body would much rather let us have high blood sugar chronically rather than have low blood sugar, because that would kill us right away, the body really tends to begin to shut off the immune system in the gut and allow for a chronic infection in order to protect against that bloodborne infection that would instantly, you know, take us out in a day. And so getting those hormones back up to the level where they can kind of be your own soldiers and you can shut off your inflammation, that's the first place that I go.
And how do you do that with your clients?
So we're big proponents of biohealth adrenal stress indexes. So doing like a 24-hour cortisol DHEA test, one of those ones where you spit into the little tubes, you know, four times during the day. We see a lot of dysfunction both on output, either high or low, or the curve can actually be messed up. So you want a good, natural, healthy cortisol rhythm. And there's a lot of talk out there about having high cortisol. And the research is very clear. If you have high cortisol, you're going to have a lot of health problems. However, what we're seeing is a lot of people on our site have been in a state of ill health for a while, for several years, maybe 20 years. And these people, it doesn't even appear that they have the ability to get to that high cortisol state anymore. And so they're chronically low cortisol.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see that all the time. I mean, with the adrenal fatigue and whatnot. Yeah, I just assume when you come in my office that you have some level of adrenal fatigue, and we're just kind of really supporting it, you know, with the adaptogenic herbs and trying to figure out the, you know, the source of the stress so that we can deal with it from the root cause, as we like to do.
Yeah, and that's totally, we're trying to, at least my current kind of thought about this is that there's a couple limiting factors, and this kind of comes from my engineering background. And when you're kind of looking at a system, you're always trying to look at what inputs limit the rest of the outputs. And so it seems like the liver is the first limiting factor in getting better. And so if you're having a liver dysfunction, you're not going to have proper hormone health, because the liver is so important for hormone health. And then if you don't have proper hormone health, you're never going to have proper GI health. And so most of our clients do end up with some sort of, you know, they have some sort of parasite or a bacterial infection, SIBO, candida. But what we found is that they have a history of people treating those infections because they are problems without thinking about the rest of the body and these other limiting factors. And so it's kind of like sending in the Navy SEALs to Iraq, but not sending in the rest of the troops. So you run in there with prescription drugs or herbal remedies, and you take care of these infections, but nothing's there to keep watch because the immune system's turned off. And then these infections regrow, or we get other ones just because we come into contact with them all day long.
Absolutely. So how are you guys supporting the liver and what you're doing?
So we really are kind of proponents of just supporting it in its job. So we like to use a product called Amino Detox from Designs for Health. Things like N-acetylcysteine, vitamin C, just trying to give the liver the amino acids it needs to do its job. Potentially like liposomal glutathione seems to work really well for other people. So we're not big proponents of like these crazy cleanses, just because a lot of the people that we're working with or talking to just are at a stage where if you did one of those crazy cleanses, it would only make them sicker and potentially be very bad for them.
Yep, absolutely. Well, cool. Well, this was definitely super informative to me. I always love a podcast when I've personally learned something. So I know if I've learned something, that my listeners have hopefully definitely learned something. And so it's, you know, it's something that I've been curious about. I certainly, like I said, have sent people your way or sent them to, you know, check out carbohydrates. Again, I cannot speak today. My God. I feel like if I say SCD diet, then I'm redundant in the D. And so then I want to say carbohydrate specific, but for whatever reason, I'm tongue-tied today, guys. So anyway, but I have certainly, you know, had some refractory cases of you know, Crohn's or different types of ulcerative colitis that I know have benefited from doing that diet. And so I certainly encourage anybody out there who's listening that, you know, has tried either something through me or paleo or some other diet and you're still having issues to go ahead, give it a try. We kind of talked about the eggs and the dairy potentially, you know, being problems. So I would, as you know, as Steve mentioned, you know, keep those out from the beginning and hop on over to their website and download their free ebook.
Yeah, and thank you, Dr. Amy.
Yeah, so tell them again your website so they can check that out.
Yeah, so you can go over to scdlifestyle.com and there you can get a bunch of support, sign up for the free ebook and get on our mailing list. I do want to mention that as Dr. Amy said at the beginning of this podcast, I call myself a health engineer. I am definitely not a doctor. And what we do is we're not diagnosing people. We're not working with anything. You know, we encourage you to work with someone like Dr. Amy, and then we are part of your health team. So I firmly believe that every one of us should have a health team that sort of supports us in various areas. And so that's kind of where we fit into that.
Awesome. Well, we're really glad that you're out there because, you know, as I always tell people, there are more people out there that need us than there are of us that can help them. So the more we can spread the word, and, you know, I just appreciate you doing that through all of your free, you know, support that you guys have on your Facebook and website and all that kind of stuff. It's really great that people, you know, have access to all of this.
Yeah, thank you. We're just trying to help people that were suffering like we did.
Yeah, me too. I always tell people, you know, those of us that do this, we're usually doing it because either we or someone very, very close to us suffered. So, you know, and then it turns into, you know, very passionate, you know, passionate people.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for having on the podcast.
Absolutely. I'll talk with you soon.
To stay in touch with Dr. Myers, you can sign up for her newsletter on her website at dramymyers.com. Or connect with her on Facebook or Twitter at Amy Myers, MD.